Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 1, The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. Tam ihamana nirankritam buddham. Nirashisam purnamananyachoditam. Siksayanta nijavartna samstita Prabhum prapade kila dharma bhavana. Tam. Unto the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ihamanam, who's acting for our benefit. Nirahankritam, who's without entanglement or desire for gain. Buddham, who is completely in knowledge. Nirashisam, without desires to enjoy the fruits of his activities. Purnam, who is full and therefore has no need to fulfill desires. Ananya, by others. Chuditam, induced or inspired. Nrin, all of human society. Siksayantam, to teach the real path of life. Nityavarma, his own personal way of life. Samstitam, to establish without deviation. Prabhum, unto the Supreme Lord. Prapadye, I request everyone to surrender. Akila Dharma Bhavanam, who is the master of all religious principles or the occupational duties for a human being. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, works just like an ordinary human being, yet he does not desire to enjoy the fruits of work. He's full in knowledge, free from material desires and in diversions, and completely independent. As the supreme teacher of human society, he teaches his own ways of activities, and thus he inaugurates the real path of religion. I request everyone to follow him. Purport. This is the sum and substance of our Krishna consciousness movement. We're simply requesting human society to follow in the footsteps of the teacher of Bhagavad Gita. Follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and your life will be successful. That is the summary of the Krishna consciousness movement. The organizer of the Krishna consciousness movement is teaching everyone how to follow Lord Ramachandra, how to follow Lord Krishna, and how to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this material world, we need a leader for a monarchy or good government. Lord Sri Ramachandra, by his practical example, showed how to live for the benefit of all human society. He fought with demons like Ravana. He carried out the orders of his father, and he remained the faithful husband and mother of Mother Sita. Thus, there is no comparison to Lord Ramachandra's acting as an ideal king. Indeed, people still hanker for Ram Raja, a government conducted like that of Lord Ramachandra. Similarly, although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he taught his disciple and devotee Arjuna how to lead a life ending in going back home, back to Godhead. Chakta deyam puna janma naiti mam eti sorjana. All teachings, political, economic, social, religious, cultural, and philosophical are to be found in Bhagavad Gita. One only has to follow them strictly. Supreme Personality of Godhead also comes as Lord Chaitanya just to play the part of a pure devotee. Thus, the Lord teaches us in different ways just to make our life successful, and Swayambhuva Manu requests us to follow him. Swayambhuva Manu is the leader of mankind, and he has given a book called Manu Samhita to guide human society. Herein he directs us to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations. These incarnations are described in Vedic literature, and Jayadev Goswami has described 10 important incarnations in summary. Kesava Dritta Mina Sarira Jai Jagadisa Are, Kesava Dritta Nara Hari Rupa Jai Jagadisa Are, Kesava Dritta Buddha Sarira Jai Jagadisa Are, etc. Swayambhuva Manu instructs us to follow the instructions of God, God's incarnation, especially Krishna's instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Appreciating Bhakti Mark as instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thus depicted the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya Vijanicha Bhakti Yoga Siksartam Eka Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dari Kripambudiryastamaham Prapadye. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge. His devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness, he is descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto that lotus feet. Chaitanya Chandadoy Natak 674. In this age of Kali, people cannot follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the Lord himself takes the part of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to teach personally how to become Krishna conscious. He asks everyone to follow him and to become a guru to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Yara dekit taraka Krishna upadesh amagyai guru hai taridesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Sisi Madhya 728. The coherent purpose of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to track human society, how to be happy, to teach human society how to be happy by following the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Grada Sivasadi Kora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is said that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, works just like an ordinary human being, there is a great distinction between Lord Krishna and the human being. And the first distinction that is made here is that he is not working to enjoy the fruits of his work, because he has no desires to fulfill. That is the point. Nothing to attain in the material world. Natasya karyam karanam savijyate. Krishna also has no work to perform. There is no need for Krishna to work. We see that we are working because we have desires to fulfill. And there's no end. And therefore, we work very hard. And we are not only working to survive. That is Krishna's arrangement to restrict us. Krishna has made a design in the material world, or inspired a design in the material world. Lord Brahma, in his meditation, received the blueprint for creating the material world and making a whole arrangement where the living being gets, if he's pious and if he's willing to express his desire according to the regulative principles of scripture, then one can become situated in the mode of goodness and take birth in the higher planetary systems in the universe. If one is in the mode of passion and is inclined towards breaking religious principles and is driven by a great desire for material enjoyment, then one can take his birth in the middle planetary systems where we are now. Or if one is outright sinful, if one is in the mode of ignorance, if one is acting destructive for the self and others, then we can take our birth in the lower regions of the universe. So since we are in the middle planetary systems, maybe we should for a moment just focus on that condition. And that although there is transcendental knowledge available, very few, manushanam sahasresu kaschit yatati siddhiye, yatatama api siddhanam kaschin mam viti tatvataha, out of many among thousands, hardly one will take up this knowledge, and amongst thousands of those, only one will attain perfection. So this is the condition. And those who do have transcendental knowledge, still, because of conditioning, have a tendency to not follow it. There's a resistance. There's an inner resistance in following these regulative principles, where in the higher planetary systems, the living beings naturally are looking to conform what is authorized, what is bona fide, right? Whereas our tendency is, well, you know, like, I mean, what is natural, right? What is natural? I mean, you have to be natural. And if you're not natural, I mean, you know, how can you live, right? You got to be yourself. You got to be natural. That is the predominant tendency in the middle planetary system, whereas in the higher planetary systems, the tendency is not to be natural. The tendency is to what is authorized, what is bona fide. Yeah. It was also a similar point I saw in a book on human rights. It was an interesting point. It was stated that, yes, human rights means every living being has the right for happiness, has the right for expressing his desires. That is our right. And then in the book said, but in India, he said, it's a little different. It's a little different. In India, they're looking at what is my duty? What is dharma? Yes. So that is a nice point. We see that the Vedic culture, in other words, is not about what is my right. The Vedic culture is simply as to what is my prescribed duty. And when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, that comes up many times. Prescribed duty. Prescribed duty. My materially conditioned mind immediately thought, heavy duty. Duty. I never liked the word duty. Right? Somehow or other, that was a word, it wasn't one of my favorites. That shows how deep that tendency to just follow our senses is established in this middle planetary system, that the word duty feels uncomfortable. Feels uncomfortable. Yes. Are you trying to control me? Are you trying to restrict me? Are you trying to limit me in the freedom of my expression? And guess what the freedom of our expression is going to be? Material life. Maitunya Agra is a chain of sex life. It means, yes, we go just like a train. You go down the coach and the last coach go. The train of thought, one thought, next thought, next thought, next thought. Oh, this place reminds me of my youth. Oh, yes, back in the youth. And so, somehow or other, we are in this material world. We are encaged. Durga, difficult to go. We are imprisoned in the material world. Srila Prabhupada gives one example. He says there is a bird in a cage, and the owner takes the cage and places the cage in the field and opens the door. The bird looks left, the bird looks right. Is it open? It is. Is there a catch? Is there something wrong? It cannot be. Looks okay. But then, shoots out that door, flies to the sky, goes everywhere in big circles. But then, you know, flies back in the cage. Because, you know, that's where the leaf of salad is and the seeds and whatever, you know, whatever they put in the bird cages. That's where it all is. So we voluntarily, like the bird, are keeping ourselves engaged. Not engaged, but encaged in the material world. We voluntarily keep ourselves in this cage, and it says the bars in the cage, that is sex life. This sex life, which drives everything, right? For that, when a man is alone, right, where does he find the drive? Where does he find the inspiration to do anything? When he's alone, he just becomes, after a while, becomes lethargic, no purpose in my life. But when there's a woman, then there's a purpose in life. And if you haven't understood it, she'll make you understand. Also, yes, because she knows. She knows. So in this way, the motive passion is driving material existence. The motive passion is driving us along the desire to enjoy and gives us a motivation to build houses, to build bridges, to build towers, to build planes, to climb mountains and do all kinds of exciting things. But when you're all alone, it's no fun. It's no fun. It's like in China, you have the glass bridge over the canyon. But if you walk over a glass bridge over a big canyon all by yourself, it wouldn't bother. You know, it's like it's sharing the experience, right? Because in that, you see how exciting I am. I walk over glass bridges. No, I do. I'm not boring. I'm very exciting. I'm very creative. It actually amplifies my glories. all these things I'm doing? Oh, yes. Yes. See my watch. I have taste. And like everything, yes. Everything confirms my identity so that I'm worthy, yes, of your love. So this drives the material world. That simply drives the material world. And so, one has to shift one's purpose, to satisfying Krishna. That is difficult, very difficult. So, first practice, abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasana yagamina paramam purusham divyam yati partim sintayan. We first are practicing, cultivating. It doesn't come natural. While we're cultivating and practicing, still the desire to enjoy the material world and to lord it over the material energy, that comes natural. That's the desire that comes. And therefore we struggle on the spiritual path. So it is very important that we not only dutifully serve Krishna, but that we are worshipping Krishna to our heart's content. Right? That heart's content basically means that we have to give it what we have. Pranirata diyavacha. Our energy, yes, all our life energy, not some, no, pranir, all the artha, energy, all the artha, all our, everything we have, our intelligence, our words, we have to get absorbed. If we don't get absorbed, if we only externally, ritualistically, are performing Krishna conscious activity, then we will still be plagued by these material desires. They will just harass us again and again. Kamaninam kutidam pulitam duni desante sajatamayina karuna natapatraya. It is said that the Rupa Goswami explains that the lusty desires, they are never satisfied. And the senses are very demanding taskmasters. Because the senses are like a boss who will just demand and demand more work. Bring more. And bring it now. And it better be good. And you bring, and it's not good enough. What is that? Is that all you bring? Bring more, right? No mercy. But I worked so hard. I gave everything I could. Bring more. Merciless taskmasters. Merciless senses. So in this way, we are working for these material senses, exhausting ourselves, trying very much, and making ourselves sick in the process. We work so much to get the result, and it's not working, and we are working, and then it's working, and then it stops working. It was working, but it's not working anymore. It's like anxiety, and then it's like, and the blood pressure goes up, and we keep on working, and I know about that, and then you have to take the pills. there is this this artist who makes animations, and he made animations of city life, and everyone is running after happiness, 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 and this person is running after happiness, and all the billboards, they all advertise happiness, 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 happiness. You know, like the Coca-Cola bottle says happiness, the alcohol bottle says happiness, the sports car says happiness. It's all happiness, and all the people are running after happiness. Then it's Black Friday, and the shop is just, it's really cheap, and everyone's waiting in front of the door and ready to go into the shop, and they storm into the store and just like fight over the goods. And in the end, it's the owner of the shop who has the happiness. So you see him in his red Jaguar or something like that, sports car, cap on, right outfit, cool, driving around and driving in a city like New York. And then he gets stuck in traffic. And then these guys come, and as he stands there, just to screw the wheels of his car. And what's he going to do about it? Nothing. Some guy. And so he sits there totally depressed now. And then he goes for the happiness on the alcohol billboard, you know, and it's like crashes. Then he has to go for prescription happiness, right? Now, the hero in the story is a rat. Because it's the rat race. And as he goes for prescription happiness, he comes in the doctor's waiting room, dives into the bottle of pills, takes the pills, he flies up, and the rat's ears turn into the ears of Mickey Mouse, and he flies in the sky, and it's like in Disneyland. And there's birds around him, and then he realizes birds have wings, and he doesn't, and then he crashes. Crashes. And he lies unconscious on the road. And then there's a dollar bill that gets stuck on his nose. And then the dollar bill blows with the wind, and he runs after it, and he runs after it, goes up an elevator, follows that dollar bill, and in the end the dollar bill lands on a table, and just then, bang, this clamp just catches him, and it's a big mouse trap, and there's a computer keyboard on the mouse trap, and he sits there with thousands of others behind a desk. So it was really a very good description of material life. Very nice. How we chase, how we chase happiness in so many ways, and ultimately get trapped because of it. But yes, what is the way out? There are many people out there who are intelligent, who understand that they're trapped. But what is the way out? That is the difficulty. Only Krishna consciousness is offering us that way out. That way out of where we're caught, because otherwise we just go from one situation into another. We run away from one situation to get trapped in another one. It's like we are, at least some of us here, were like young in the 60s, right? And it was just a time when after the World War, the materialism was really very, very strong. You know, everything was like build up the economies, build up the nations, make everything really first class again. Europe was broken. America was on top. You know what I mean? And ahead of everything, everyone looked at America now. You know, I mean, they had TVs and fridges and we didn't. But anyway, then they came also. Yes. When I was about 10, the first TV came in the street. I remember that day. It was a glorious day. All the kids spontaneously marched on that house and we sat down in front of that TV and they turned it on for us. And then they gave us cookies and lemonade. And we knew we were gonna be back. That was for sure. Yes, a year later, everyone had a TV. The whole street, everyone had a TV. We had two, you know. I mean, there was one pirate TV station on an old oil rig. So the kids were watching that while the parents downstairs were watching the established TV. And that was it, everyone. And so, and that was it. You know, success. We have everything now. And my dear children, we did it all for you. And the children sang, "Money can't buy you love," and walked away, right, from it all. And became hippies and, well, most hippies lost the way somewhere. It was another form of entanglement, and it was simply shifting the entanglement, running away from one type of entanglement to another type of entanglement. So my father, when I was a young boy, maybe 11 or so, was training me up to wine and dine business people and took me to these restaurants dressed in a suit and all this. So I escaped, right? I escaped from all that. And I traveled without money, slept on cardboard boxes on the street and thought that it was really great. Of course, in the process, there was no bathroom. What to do? One was getting a little dirty after a while. But we didn't mind these things, right? That was all, you know. That was all square. But yeah, what did it all lead to, right? If there was a taboo, it had to be broken. We had our prophets, you know. When the Beatles came to the Netherlands, right, I saw them. And that was it. That was it, you know. I never went to a barber again. That was the last time. Yes, absolutely. No way. That was it. Never again. And then traveling overland to India, practically no money somehow or other. Hitchhike, magic bus, whatever the magic was, that the thing somehow or other reached, and no one understood how it was possible. Broke down sometimes, but was no problem. The hippies stayed in the bus, and the bus was in the garage, and everyone just lived in the garage until it was fixed, and then we'd carry on. It was... And we thought this was enlightenment. Right? I sat in the Vondelpark with all the hippies, all the smelly hippies and everything, and I thought it was far out. Prabhupada came there and said, "These people, only kirtan and prasadam." Said, like, philosophy will not work. I was there in the park. Didn't see Prabhupada, but I was there. I saw other things, I guess. In other words, the mode of ignorance, the mode of ignorance was taking over. Just shifting from passion to ignorance was no solution. Running away from one thing, but embracing what? Hippies were taking drugs, and the slogan of the day was consciousness expansion. Right? Take the drug for the consciousness expansion. Get like experience something else. And now, and then, it didn't. It gave people a feeling of like that they were on the moon, but and that they were taking giant steps forward. But when they woke up, they realized they had gone two steps backwards, and that people felt like we are rising above this material energy, above material problems. But after a while, they realized they had a new problem called the drug and an addiction. Right? And all a physical, a psychological one, and so on. And the modes of nature became stronger and stronger. And some of the hippies from good families started to eat from garbage cans, right? Because they were so much lost by this intoxication. It was intense. I remember in Vrindavan, one boy joined from France. His name was Pascal. And Pascal said, I took too many drugs. And he did. What to say? Anyway, he cleaned the bathroom. He could just about still manage that. We had Carlo from Italy, who also took too many drugs, but he was slowly improving by chanting Hare Krishna. But in the Bhagavatam class, he would always do this. Yeah? And he would sit during the whole lecture like this, and then suddenly, in the middle of the lecture, he would go like... It was too much. Absolutely. I mean, oh God, it's like we hear how the hippies, how Prabhupada preached to the hippies. Well, it were these people whose parents were in the mode of passion, and then they took a detour through the mode of ignorance, and then they somehow or other came in this transcendental movement, and then all these characters, incredible characters, somehow or other. But the chanting of Hare Krishna is very powerful and potent, right? And it is amazing. It is amazing how people became transformed, what you never expected. What was possible? Right? What was possible then and what is possible now? So I would say, my dear devotees, there is hope. There is hope, yes. We can rise above the affliction of the material energy. It is possible to get out of the cage. It can be done. Not on our own strength. Not on the strength of some artificial means. But simply... by devotional service. Simply by devotional service. By chanting Hare Krishna. By reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And just doing devotional service. It is that simple. Archie Bhuvanat liked to tell how Prabhupada came to London and how he was chosen to give Prabhupada the garland, but that when Prabhupada came in, everyone just bowed down, so did he, and then Prabhupada walked past, and then he forgot to put the garland on him. And then all the devotees were in between. Anyway, he put the garland, Prabhupada gave the lecture, and during the lecture, Prabhupada said, he said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. Right? And this is such a profound statement. Something to really think about, right? Not just, oh, that was interesting. Nice little anecdote. Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. No, we should just stop for a moment and think about that. maybe take some time today and think about it. Krishna consciousness is so simple, we might just miss it. It actually works if we chant Hare Krishna. It actually works if we do devotional service. It actually does. So no, not with me. No, you're just impatient and you're just not applying yourself serious when you say, not with me. If you're just more patient and apply yourself, it will work. It works for everyone. No one is exempted. Not like works for most, but not for some. No, works for all. Because it's our constitutional nature. Jivira sarupai Krishna nitya das. By nature, we are the servant of Krishna. And it's just a matter of peeling off these layers of ignorance. Just when, with some, in those hippie days, it could take a while to scrub the black of the skin, right? After, when you haven't washed your feet for a few months, it you may have to soak them in a bucket for a while, before the cake of dirt comes off. Yes. But eventually it does. And then, yeah. So, in this way, it may take time to shake off the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion. It may take time, but it will happen. Just by devotional service. Tadara jastamo bhava kama lubriyasti mate vidi tan vidi stitam satvipasidati. Automatically, we become purified from this lower modes of nature. Automatically, if we simply engage in devotional service. So this is wonderful. So Krishna is personally showing by his example. One chapter in Krishna book, which I like very much, is chapter 70. It is describing Lord Krishna's daily activities in Dwarka. And Krishna, in the morning, he is woken up with brahmanas who are reciting verses and so on. And are glorifying the Supreme Lord. Krishna does many things before he takes bath, and one of the first things does, he looks at auspicious things. He looks at statues of cows and all these things. He tries to just take in positive impressions in his consciousness in the morning. It's not like, it's different than the hand comes out of the bed, grabs the phone and looks at like what came in during the night. Immediately absorbing the lower modes of nature. No, postpone it, right? Postpone it as long as possible. Postpone taking up, postpone getting in touch with these things. Just Krishna. Just in the morning, just spiritual things. So Krishna in so many ways is setting the example. In Dwarka, according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna is fulfilling the purpose of paritranayu sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharmasam sarpanantya sambhavam yuge yuge. There Lord Brahma personally asked Krishna to take up this mission, establishing principles of religion, annihilating the demons. I'm taking too much time and seeing that. I forgot the time. Anyway, I'm going to wind it up. So in Dwarka, Krishna performs these daily activities and really shows the example of how human beings should act. And in Vrindavan, Krishna gives us a preview of the spiritual world, right, of the eternal activities of the spiritual world. So in this way, Krishna is both, showing us by example, and both giving us a taste of eternal spiritual life. And yes, this is our business. Let us get out of this cage of which promises us false happiness, and let us follow the example of Krishna and go back to the spiritual world and join his eternal pleasure pastimes. Now I'll stop. Any comments, any questions? And I won't go too long with the questions because it's late now. So take two questions, that's it. Yes, sir.
Thank you for inspiring lecture. Could I please ask, when you mentioned that if we are doing devotional service only automatically, there is still tendency in us to lord it our material nature. So when this tendency is strong in our mind, how to protect ourselves so that we wouldn't act according to that tendency in the mind?
Right. So the tendency is still there. In the beginning, we're just cultivating Krishna consciousness and we're practicing. So one has to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. And how do we do that? We do that by accepting a regulated program. We must be regulated. Just like chanting 16 rounds, it must, not only should we chant 16 rounds, but we should chant them in a regulated way. So ideally get up at the same time every day, early, but at the same time, and then chant the rounds at the same time every day, so that we get accustomed to it. The association of devotees is protecting us. So we need to, as much as possible, be in the association of devotees. Taking only Krishna prasadam is protecting us. Right? Kirtan is protecting us. Right? So all these activities, they are protecting us, the activities of devotional service. Praying to the deities, you know, here they are. They're very powerful, very merciful. So we go before them and we pray, please protect me. Protect me from the influence of Maya. Somehow or other, Maya is strong and tempting. Then, by serving a senior Vaishnava, we begin to serve the senior devotees. Eventually, one must become a disciple and serve a spiritual master, and really to become like and to start thinking, what does my spiritual master want? Not from what I want. What can he do for me? Mostly I like his lectures, but today it wasn't so inspiring. That's not the right mood. The mood is, whatever drop of mercy from him I receive, and what can I do to please him? Yeah. So like that we remain protected. So serve the devotees, the senior Vaishnavas, find a spiritual master, and begin to serve according to the instructions of the spiritual master. Chant regularly, read regularly, associate with devotees, pray to the deities. Then we are protected. Yeah. Any more question? I cannot take, because I went on too long. I just...
You mentioned about
Prabhupada. You're not on, you have to push the button in the middle there. I mentioned about Prabhupada.
What he said about Krishna consciousness being so simple that one might miss it. So we're going to meditate on it today. Just wondering, what is your meditation like?
Well, simple. I am trying to minimize my needs. If I can do with less, then maybe I'll become more simple. The more I think I need, and the more I want, right, the more complicated my life becomes. Yes. So I try to simplify things in my external life by needing less, and then I don't have to worry about so many things. That's one step in that direction towards being simple. Otherwise, simple means Krishna is the priority. That's ultimately the essence of simplicity. Is Krishna is simply the priority and nothing else. So in every given situation, Krishna is the priority. First Krishna, then other things that support our service to Krishna. And put Krishna first. Well, that's my attempt to be simple. I can meditate. I'll meditate on it more today. Tell you more on the side, but I keep it at this for now. To keep it simple and not make it so complicated. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.